Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hello, what's up, and welcome to today's episode of Build Your Tribe. Today, we are making a slight adjustment to our regularly scheduled programming, and actually, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be publicly announcing this, but whatever, I'll do it anyways. We are making a slight adjustment to our overall strategy here, and I thought I would start today's episode by sharing that with you. But before we get into that, let me tell you that our episode today, generally speaking, will be about the Instagram crash that took place on Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. I'm going to be telling you what you should do to prepare before the next crash, because it will happen. It's not a matter of if it will happen, it's just a matter of when it will happen. So I'm going to walk you through what you should do to prepare for the next one, and what you should do when Instagram crashes, or when TikTok or Facebook or YouTube crashes, what you should do. Also, I should say that while, of course, I'm going to be focusing most specifically on when the app crashes and when all of us cannot access the app, this is still going to be a very applicable episode. If you are hacked, if you can't get into your account, if you get your account disabled or banned or blocked or whatever. So this is the type of episode that really, no matter who you are, I would recommend listening to this episode. If you're anyone who cares about their social media presence, who cares about the platforms that they have built, who cares about the posts they have shared in the past and not losing those posts, I think that this should be a necessary, if not a mandatory, listen for all of y'all, myself included. But before we get into that, let's circle back to the original thing that I started talking to you about that I got sidetracked on, which is our new strategy for this podcast. And that is that we are cutting back from 2 YouTube videos per week to just 1 YouTube video per week. For those of you who have been living under a rock, that's totally okay. But for the Build Your Tribe podcast, for about the last 6 months, maybe even 8 months or so, we have been doing YouTube versions, basically video versions of the podcast. So any episode that you're listening to for the last 6 to 8 months has had a video component to it. Of course, you can still listen to the audio-only version on every podcast listening app, but if you go to YouTube and you search Build Your Tribe, you can find the video version of the channel. And we've been sticking with 2 podcasts per week and a video component for each. So of course, that means 2 YouTube videos per week. But we're making an adjustment to our strategy where now we're still going to be doing 2 podcasts per week. So if you subscribe and you just listen to the podcast, you're still going to be able to consume 2 per week, but only 1 of the 2 will be a video podcast. Now, we haven't exactly decided on if it's going to always be the Tuesday episode or the Thursday episode. I would recommend just listening to the first part. And if you're someone who really craves the video component of the podcast, or maybe if it's a podcast that requires some like visual instruction or tutorials, just listen and we'll likely say something like if you're watching on YouTube or something like that. And of course, you can always just subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you ring that little bell, which is what the YouTubers say, basically, if you tap on the notifications bell on YouTube, you'll get a little notification when a new video does come out. That's probably the best way to make sure that you're not missing any video versions of the podcast. But in summary, that's what we're doing. We're still sticking with 2 podcasts a week, but now we're cutting back to only 1 video version of the podcast per week. And the reason that we're doing that is so that we can be more intentional with each of the YouTube videos, so that each of the YouTube videos have even better production. Shout out to our editors. They are flipping awesome. They do such a good job, oftentimes on very, very short notice, but so that they can do an even better job and have more time to fine-tune the video and make it the best of the best. And also so that our videos don't compete with each other. Because we release new episodes of Build Your Tribe on Tuesdays and Thursdays, oftentimes the Thursday episode will compete with, and if not completely bury, the Tuesday episode, not allowing it to have its full chance to breathe and work into the YouTube algorithm and get pushed out to more people. So you're still going to get a Tuesday and a Thursday audio podcast, but only one of the two will be an actual video on YouTube. That's the update to our strategy. And if you want to use that or try that out for your own podcast or your own YouTube strategy moving forward, knock your socks off. Go for it. And I should also add that this isn't just a blind test. This isn't just something that like we're doing for fun or something that we're doing because we had the random idea to do so. We have actually hired a YouTube coach, a YouTube strategist. We meet with her on a monthly basis. She dives deep into all of our analytics, all of our insights, and gives us really actionable tips and feedback. And so I just tell you that to be totally transparent. While we are marketing experts and we are social media experts, and I would say my mom and I both know quite a bit more than the average person about YouTube, we recognize that that's not our forte or that's not our niche expertise. That's not our bread and butter. And so, you know, we might as well bring in a coach, even someone at our stage in life and in business, we're still bringing in coaches and experts to teach us and to learn from. So there's no shame in hiring a coach. There's no shame in reaching out for help. And in fact, I think it's one of the best things that you can do, whether you are making eight figures a year or you're making $8 a year, investing in a coach, getting some feedback and someone to look at your accounts and your profiles is so, so helpful. But all of that being said, the first 5 minutes we've talked about so far is not the focus of today's episode. The focus of today's episode is the massive Meta crash that happened on Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. And it was truly a Meta crash. It was not just an Instagram crash. Facebook was down, not quite as long as Instagram, but Facebook was definitely down. And I believe Threads was down as well. I've seen a lot less reporting on Threads, a lot less people, you know, freaking out because Threads was down, but I did check Threads during the time that Facebook and Instagram were down, and it seemed like Threads was down as well. It was giving me a lot of glitches and errors, similar to what Instagram was doing. And I don't know about anyone else, but it was definitely a little bit of a shock, a little bit of a confusion, a little bit of what the heck is going on when I first checked Instagram, and I was getting a notification that said like could not refresh or cannot connect to the server, cannot connect to the internet. And it was freaking me out a little bit. That's definitely the case. That's always the case when these things happen. And it really just reaffirms this feeling, this belief that we should all share and understand, which is that you can lose your Instagram at any time and replace Instagram with any social network. You can lose your Facebook, your TikTok, your Twitter, your whatever at any time because we don't own the rights. We as the content creators, as the people using the app, we don't own the rights to access that app. We don't even own the rights to access our followers or anything like that, even our own content on the app. Some of you might be familiar with this story, but in, gosh, I think it was 2015, maybe 2014, we as a family, we were hacked. Specifically, my mom was hacked and had her Facebook, her Instagram, her Twitter, all of these things hacked. And then we were extorted and she lost hundreds of thousands of followers. And it was this really big deal. We've done plenty of YouTube episodes on it before, but we as a family and as an extension now, as an entire business, everyone who works for us, every contractor we work with, it's something we take very seriously. The fact that social media is temporary and no matter how established you are, how many followers you have, how long you've been doing it, you can lose it in a snap, in an absolute moment, in the blink of an eye. You can wake up one day and have it all just be gone for numerous reasons. Like I mentioned earlier, it could be an Instagram crash. It could be that you got hacked. It could be that you got wrongfully disabled. It could be that you got rightfully disabled because you did something that was against their guidelines. You can lose Instagram at any time. So with that being said, with that in mind, here are four things that I recommend doing before the next crash specifically, but really this is before the next bad thing happens, before the next hack, before the next scam, before the next disabling of your account, before the next time the poop hits the fan, so to speak, with your Instagram, with your social media. Here are four things that you need to be doing. Number one, first and foremost, double flipping down on your email list. You need to get more serious about your email list. It's time to stop putting it to the side. It's time to stop saying, oh, well, I'll do that once I get a certain number of followers. Then I'll start building my email list. Or I'll start building my email list once I have X number of products set up, or once I have X number of credibility, or X number of this and that. Stop the excuses. Stop the BS and start building your email list. It is the most valuable asset that you can have as a business owner. I would much rather have 1 million email list subscribers than 1 million followers. And that goes for any platform. I'd much rather have 1 million email list subscribers than 1 million followers on TikTok or 1 million subscribers on YouTube. Heck, I would probably rather have 1 million email list subscribers than 1 million followers on every platform at the same time. That's how powerful, how valuable an email list is. You own your email list. You own the right to contact people and to send messages that show up in their inbox. And so in this online world that we live in this space of digital marketing and selling things online and building a following, that is truly the most secure and most protected and most reliable form of digital communication that you can control. Now, of course, I use email list as a general term that also includes a contact list. If you have people's physical addresses, if you have people's phone numbers and you have like an SMS list, things like that, that all counts as well. But just generally speaking, a way to contact people directly that you control. Of course, yes, there are algorithms within emails, and I know that's crazy to think about, but just think about this. How does your email know what's junk versus what's spam versus what's a promotion versus what is important and urgent? There is some degree of AI, artificial intelligence, some degree of algorithm or filtering going on in email marketing, but it is still way more reliable, way more valuable than a social media follower. We have done plenty of episodes previously of Build Your Tribe that relate to building an email list and help you figure out what's step one? What email list provider should I sign up with? How do I get people to join my email list? If I have nothing to sell right now, how do I get someone to join my email list? All of those questions, we've answered them in previous episodes. I'm sure we will link some of those up in the show notes below this episode. You can also search Build Your Tribe and the words email or email list, and you'll find some of those episodes that we've done. But that's number one. The first thing you need to be doing today, immediately, I don't care if you already have an email list with 10,000 subscribers, focus on building that email list and nurturing it and building the relationships within that email list. That's number one. Number two, put your eggs or some of your eggs in other baskets, and specifically baskets that aren't owned by the same parent company. So what I think a lot of people do is they're like, oh, well, I have a few followers on Instagram and I have a few followers on Facebook, so I'm diversified. But in reality, Facebook and Instagram, of course, are both owned by Meta. And so when Meta's servers crash like they did today, you lose access to both. So preferably you would have platforms that are not under the same parent company. So you would have Facebook and TikTok. You would have Instagram and YouTube. You would have a podcast and a Pinterest account. So just kind of diversified following. And you don't have to put all dozen eggs into one basket and then abandon Instagram. And I also don't think you're going to be best served by splitting it evenly. Like, I don't think you should spend, you know, half your time on Instagram and half your time on TikTok. But let's at least follow maybe like the 80-20 rule here, where you are at least building some following, some amount of engagement, and you have some sort of relevance or consistency or just account set up on other platforms besides just Instagram or just TikTok or whatever platform your singular platform is. The third thing that I would recommend doing before the next crash, before the next hack, whatever it may be, is secure your flippin' account. Turn on two-factor authentication if you don't already. If you don't know what that is, that's where basically there is a second factor, hence the name two-factor, a second checkpoint when someone tries to log into your account. So you might be familiar with when you try to log in and it's like, hey, we texted you a code. That's a second form of authentication so that they're saying, hey, you don't just have this person's password, but you also have access to their phone number. Even better than having it texted to your phone is using an authenticator app, because that way you can check the app, the code automatically refreshes on a certain timer, and then you can just use that code right from the app. And from the cybersecurity experts that we have worked with and that we have interviewed in the past, it's more secure to use an authenticator app rather than to use the, you know, text a code to my phone method. But nonetheless, secure your account with two-factor authentication and use a password encryption tool. There are numerous apps, sites, and softwares out there that basically can store all of your passwords in one central vault. And that vault is far more protected, far more secure and safe than having your passwords just kind of out in the public, or even worse, just stored in your brain. Having a password encryption or a password protection app allows you to do a few things. Number one, you can use long tail randomly generated passwords. So rather than using ABC123 password as your password, or, you know, ABC123 password Instagram as your Instagram password, and then trying to remember it, or just using like a blanket password for every single app where the login and the password is the exact same for every single social network, you can use a different randomly generated 40 character long password for every single social media site, every single platform, every single app out there. And then also, you don't have to remember the passwords. You don't have to have them written down anywhere. Like my grandpa, my mom's dad, he has his passwords written on a sticky note and taped to his laptop. So if anyone steals his laptop, they can get into everything, including his bank account and the safe and all of that good stuff. So use a password protection app. It has so many benefits. It has great access for teams. If you're someone who has employees or independent contractors, we make every single person who works within or works for Team Johnson use these password encryption and password protection apps. Because it just keeps us all safe. And you're only as safe as your weakest link. So use an app such as 1Password or something like that. Use 2-factor authentication and just make sure that your account is as secure as possible before SHIT hits the fan. Instagram is a beast. There is no lie that every single week the algorithm changes, there's a million new features, there's so much to keep track of, so much you have to worry about, and all you're trying to do is grow your business, trying to get more customers and make more sales on Instagram. That is why we created the Insta Club Hub, to help you learn exactly what you need to know to stay up to date with the changes that are actually relevant to you as a business owner, and to help you grow your following and customer base on Instagram. You can check it out, best part, for only $7. You can join a 2-week trial for only $7. That's 50 cents per day for 2 weeks. And all you have to do to grab that trial offer is go to instaclubhub.com/trial. Again, that link will be down in the description. But right now, while you're listening, you can just open up your Safari browser or whatever internet browser you use and just go to instaclubhub.com/trial. All right, that's number three. The fourth thing that you should do before the next crash is you need to be saving all of your content. So far, the majority of the first three things that we talked about were mainly focused around followers or audience. Having an email list, which was number one, that secures your audience offline. Having your eggs in diversified baskets, or basically growing your following on multiple platforms, that allows you to be more protected if, you know, Meta shuts down or TikTok crashes or is banned in the US or whatever. Number three protects your account as a whole. Number four, it protects your content, which a lot of people don't think of, but you spend so much time creating this content. You spend so much time making posts, editing posts, writing captions, coming up with edits, all of that good stuff. And if your account gets hacked or disabled or whatever, you could lose all of that content. So I would highly recommend having a multi-layered system to save all of your content. For myself personally, I save every single post that I have ever made in 3 locations and kind of 4. The first 3, the main 3, are I have a Google Drive account and I have a Dropbox account. So those are cloud storage. So they're basically saved on the cloud. They're not physically on my hard drive on my computer. That would, I guess, probably be the most secure. And I know a lot of wedding photographers do that. I'm not that level of secure where I have like all of my Instagram posts from 2017 stored on an old hard drive. But you could go that route if you wanted to, you know, be the farthest degree of secure. I don't go that far, but I do definitely have 2 forms of cloud storage. So again, I have Google Drive and Dropbox. So I have unlimited storage on those 2. I can upload all my posts there, save them all, categorize them, and even add like captions and things like that into the notes section of each upload so that I have all my content saved there. The third layer in which I save all of my content is in my scheduling tool. So even if Instagram goes away, I can still access all of my past data and past analytics and insights in Metricool, which is my scheduling app that I use. That way it's stored there. The captions are stored there. The performance is stored there. Very, very useful. And then kind of the fourth one, which I don't rely on, I don't count, but now that I'm thinking about it, I guess my content is stored there as well, is in my iCloud storage. So I have upgraded to whatever they allow us to be the maximum iCloud storage now. I think it's like 2 terabytes of data. I have photos and videos, raw content, final content, all of that saved going back to like 2015, I think. And again, it's not something that I rely on necessarily, but it's there nonetheless. So if Dropbox explodes, if Google Drive deletes all of my stuff, at least I have it. It might not be as categorized or as professionally labeled and organized, but I do have it saved in my iCloud storage nonetheless. So I have all of my posts stored and saved somewhere. On a quick sidebar pro tip, that's also something that makes it very easy to repost content. So if you ever have something that does really well and you want to repost it, you don't have to use one of those sketchy like Instagram downloader websites that allow you to, you know, save your posts and rip them off the platform. It's much easier, much safer to just go into your Dropbox and download the reel that you posted in March and post it again. So again, those are the four tips, the four things that I recommend doing before the next crash, which will happen. It's just a matter of time before the next time you're hacked, before the next time your account is breached or disabled or whatever. Start building your email list, start diversifying your following, secure your Instagram account or secure your accounts in general, and then save all of your content in some sort of cloud storage system. Those are the four things. Now let's move into the next part of this conversation, which is, what do you do when it goes wrong? Like, what do you do when, I spelled it out earlier, but I don't know why, like, this isn't a PG podcast. I can say shit. You know, when shit hits the fan, when you get hacked, when Instagram crashes, what should you do? Like, what should your process be? Number one, I was going to say this is like number two or number three, but really number one, don't panic. And I know I said that earlier today, I was a little panicky, and honestly, like that's kind of true, but also my gut reaction wasn't, oh, I've been hacked. My gut reaction was, I bet Instagram is down. And I know that my account is secure. I know that I do have my content backed up. I know that I have done all of the four things that I already listed. So I think that's part of the reason that I wasn't super anxious. I wasn't super panicky or freaking out. Like there was definitely a urgency to my checking of, is Instagram actually down? Like what's going on? There was some amount of urgency there. I didn't just like close my phone and go for a walk, but I don't think I panicked. I didn't freak out. I doubt my heart rate elevated by more than 5 beats per minute. Take a deep breath. Remind yourself that every social network can be brought back. Every following can be regained. Content, hopefully, sometimes it can be saved. You know, they say once you share something online, it's out there forever. More or less, that is true, you know, and so I don't want to contradict everything I've already said today. I know I spent the first 20 minutes of this podcast likely scaring you and making you feel like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen to me any moment. But I think there is a healthy balance between, you know, preparing and having some amount of healthy fear towards getting hacked or crashing a site or whatever, but also understanding that you can take a deep breath and you don't need to panic. And panic in those situations is not going to help you. So take a deep breath, then we can take appropriate action. Once you have yourself in a composed mindset and space, then we can start taking action appropriately. So again, that's step one, don't panic. Step two, check Twitter. That's usually the best place to go. Of course, if Twitter is your platform of choice, and if you think Twitter has crashed or Twitter is down, then I would maybe go to Facebook or go to Threads or even go to Instagram. You can also just like search on Reddit or just search on Google. But generally speaking, Twitter's the place to go because Twitter is not tied to any of the other platforms. So as long as Twitter is not down, if you go to Twitter and you search Instagram down or Instagram crash, it will usually be a trending topic and you will see hundreds, if not thousands of people tweeting about it that minute. And in fact, when Instagram crashed on Tuesday morning, that's exactly what I did. I immediately popped over to Twitter, and I know I'm calling it Twitter. I know it's technically called X now. I still just refer to it as Twitter because, you know, it's just easier. But anyways, I hop over to Twitter. I immediately go to the trending page, and the number one trend was Instagram crash, and all of the top posts were like 4 minutes old. So that tells me that like within 4 minutes, the Instagram crash was the number one trending thing. That's how popular it was. That's how many people were flooding to Twitter to tweet about it. And that also just immediately affirmed to me that, okay, it's not just me. It's going on for a lot of people. And also it just started. It's not something that's been going on for hours. It's something that just began within the last few minutes. And so it's likely not going to be fixed within the next few minutes. It's likely going to take a few hours to get fixed. Which, speaking of, I think this would be a good time to say that typically when these platforms crash, that's the normal time frame, is I would say anywhere from maybe 30 minutes to an hour on the low end, and on the high end, 12 to 24 hours. I think anything above 12 is pretty rare, but it does happen. It does seem like as these crashes are happening more and more year after year, they're lasting shorter amounts of time. But I do think that it's important to know that, hey, this might take a few hours, so don't expect it to be fixed anytime soon or anytime immediately. That's the second thing. Check Twitter to confirm it's a crash and not a hack. You can also, of course, just like text your friends or call up any associates and be like, hey, is your Instagram down right now? I know that was another thing that we did within our team Slack channel. There was like 20, 30 people immediately when the hack happened, or the crash happened, I should say, who were like, hey, my Instagram's down, my Facebook's down. Is that going on for you guys? Just to confirm that it is a widespread issue and not an individual issue and not a hack. The third thing that I would recommend doing during the next crash, pause all posts unless the post is related to the crash. So let's say, for example, I'll use Tuesday as an example. Instagram came back around noon Eastern Standard Time, or maybe a little bit after noon Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday. I wouldn't recommend posting for the rest of the day on Tuesday unless you were going to make a post related to the crash, or if you were going to be like right there on top of it, ready to post the second Instagram came back. Why is that? Well, because for the rest of that day, a few things are going to be happening. Number one, a lot of people are going to be talking about the crash. That's going to be the dominant overarching theme and narrative of the content. And so if you're making a post about baking a pie and everyone else on Instagram is freaking out over the crash that happened that morning, your pie recipe is going to get buried. That's the first thing. The second thing is there's going to be a huge surge of content once the platform comes back. So once the crash is over, everyone and their mama is going to be posting. And like I said, the majority of those posts are going to be about the crash. And so there's just going to be a lot more competition during that time than there normally would be. The third thing is not only is there going to be an increase in competition, there's going to be a decrease in consumption because not everyone is going to be refreshing the app like you are. There are plenty of people who on Tuesday, they woke up, they saw Instagram wasn't working, and they were like, I guess I'll check tomorrow. Or I guess I'll check tonight. And they put it down for hours. Of course, there are plenty of people like you and I who are refreshing the app over and over again until it's fixed. But there's also plenty of people who took it as a sign to peace out and get off Instagram for the day. And so they stopped checking. So increased competition, decreased demand, and specifically competition that is really hard to compete with because it's about a trending, popular, relevant topic, you're just going to get buried. And so if you really want to post, if you have something that like has to be posted, I mean, that's fine. I just, from what we see, generally speaking, when these things happen, it's best to either post immediately right after the crash. Specifically, it's best to post right after the crash about the crash. But if you can't do those things, it's best to probably wait until the next day. And that's even something that I did. I had a partnership post with ManyChat that was supposed to go live on Tuesday. As soon as the crash happened, I reached out to them and I was like, hey, I know we're scheduled to do this partnership post today, but I think it would be best to wait until tomorrow. We'll both get better results once the drama around the Instagram crash is over. And luckily, they were very accepting. They were very understanding and we postponed it. The fourth thing that I recommend doing during the next crash is use that time to do something else. And of course, you can go one of two ways with this. You could use that time to make more content, schedule more content, like do tasks that are related to Instagram, brainstorm more posts, film stuff, edit stuff, whatever you got to do. You could, I guess there's really three ways to go. You could do stuff that is business related, but that is not related to Instagram. So you could spend more time writing an email for your email list. You could spend time organizing a funnel or organizing your documents. You could just do, of course, the list is so long of things you could do related to your business that don't directly pertain to the app that is currently crashed. And then the third thing you could do is do things not related to social media, like go for a walk, or I think I said in my post on Tuesday, put away the laundry that's been sitting on your dresser that you've been putting off putting away, or, you know, do some chores around the house, or hang out with your family, or whatever. Just do something else rather than just sitting there. I think the worst thing you could do is just sit there and constantly refresh Instagram. That's not very productive, and it might even make you anxious or worried or freak out or whatever. So just do something else. Close Instagram for the day. Go do something else. Go to some other app. Go do something besides worry about the platform that is currently crashed. Because ultimately, you worrying about it isn't going to make it get fixed any faster. You worrying about it is not going to bring it back any sooner. If anything, it's going to make it feel longer because you're literally watching paint dry. Or I guess you're figuratively watching paint dry, but you get what I'm saying. Anyways, the fifth thing that I recommend doing during the next Instagram crash is delete or archive. Archive would probably be the better word. Archive any posts that were posted right before, or if you had something that was like using a scheduling tool and the scheduling tool posted during the crash and for some reason it was like able to actually post, I would probably recommend archiving those posts. I mean, you can let them sit for an hour or two and see how they're doing, but most likely they're going to really get buried. They're going to get really suppressed because of all the things that we already talked about in number three, where there's just increased supply, decreased demand, increased competition, all that stuff. But also, literally, if you post it and then Instagram crashes for a few hours, that's a few hours where no one can engage. I mean, so it's probably best to archive that post, post it the next day or post it a week or two later once most people have forgot about seeing it in the first place. And that's probably going to work out better for you than just leaving it up. I know a lot of people who posted on Tuesday morning and then Instagram crashed for a few hours. Those posts from Tuesday morning just flopped. They crashed and burned. And so for those people, I would probably recommend archiving the post and then reposting it a few days or a few weeks or even a few months later. So those were the five things I recommend doing during the next crash, the four things I recommend doing before the next crash. And just generally speaking, I want to reiterate that it's going to happen again. It's like the big one. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the looming earthquake that has been talked about for so long about it's going to hit California and it's going to hit the whole West Coast of the United States. We call it the big one out here. And it's going to happen. It's not a question of if, but when. And the same is true with the next Instagram crash. The same is true with the next hack attempt. The same is true with the next time your account is wrongfully or rightfully shut down. It will happen. So all we can do is prepare our best for it. And then, of course, be prepared for what we're going to do. Have an action plan for when it actually happens. Thank you so much for listening today. Of course, this was a listen only. This was an audio only podcast. We will have a video version of the podcast, a video episode for you that will come out on next week. I don't know if it's quite going to be next Tuesday. I think it's going to be next Tuesday, but definitely next week we will have one video version of the podcast. But thank you so much for listening today. And as always, happy networking.
This episode of Build Your Tribe was sponsored by Keep. Keep is the email service, the CRM that we have used to grow all of our brands and businesses here at Team Johnson. It is not for those of you who think you can set all this stuff up yourself and you want to figure out how to set up your own email systems and flows and templates. It's for those of you who understand where you should be spending your time. Keep has elevated all of our brands and businesses. It's how we've grown our customer base, and it's how we make the majority of our money is through email marketing. So if you're ready to upgrade your small business CRM, to grow your revenue, and to create more fans and work fewer hours, be sure to check out Keep. Move your business from chaos to confidence with complete business automation. To learn more about Keep and to use Team Johnson's custom templates, go to Keap, that's spelled K-E-A-P, now, now.com/Shalene. Again, it's keepnow.com/Shalene. And Keap is spelled K-E-A-P-N-O-W.com/Shalene. And of course, that link is available for you in our show description.
Yes.
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.